we're going to get going with our next presentation. I'm going to hand you over to Peter, who's going to talk to you about the spread and adoption of our COPD discharge bundle.
Thank you very much. Thanks, David. Hello, good morning, everybody. Roll up for a 20-minute outline of the work that is imminently going to be rolled out nationally by patient safety teams to support improving patient outcomes for COPD patients. So just to set the context a little, my name is Peter Carpenter. I work for Kent, Surrey and Sussex Academic Health Science Network. And in KSS, we're lucky enough to have a really vibrant respiratory network, which we've been running for about 4 or 5 years. Previously, that was owned and led by the Strategic Health Authority. But on the back of work that we've been doing for some years to improve outcomes for patients living with COPD, we put forward the opportunity for that learning to be spread throughout the country. And this presentation will cover an overview of the work that predominantly has been done in Kent, Surrey and Sussex, ahead of the work that's going to be happening nationally across the patient safety collaboratives. So this isn't a case study of work that has been done at a national level to spread and adopt the learning. This is ahead of that that time period. So yesterday I was presenting on emergency laparotomy, which is a piece of work that is coming to the end of its life cycle. This is at the start. So just to set the context a little bit in terms of respiratory medicine, about 1.2 million people live with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which is a collection of conditions from chronic bronchitis to emphysema, and is really one of the most debilitating long-term conditions. Inevitably, this patient cohort often has multimorbidities, but from a regional perspective, we're thrilled to see that within the long-term plan there is an increased focus on improving outcomes for respiratory patients. And in fact, written into, I believe it's page 77 of the long-term plan, is the ambition to spread and adopt work that has been done locally in KSS around the discharge bundle and how a set of interventions to improve patient outcomes can be delivered at scale. But just to emphasise that this fits into a context within the long-term plan in terms of earlier detection and diagnosis of respiratory conditions, particularly increasing access to pulmonary rehabilitation in the community. Inevitably, the medicines optimisation in respiratory medicine is significant, with 6 out of 8 high-cost drugs being respiratory drugs. And also there's an increased focus on improving responses to pneumonia within the long-term plan. So the opportunity around COPD, which I'm going to talk about now in the context of KSS, really fits into that broader strategic picture. So I'm going to try and take you on a little bit of journey, a journey over the next sort of 15 minutes or so, to talk about where we were regionally in 14-15 and explain the work that we've done that has now led to this point where we feel that we can scale the learning from what we've done around the discharge bundle. So in 14-15, the network considered the position in terms of the number of unscheduled hospital admissions we were seeing with acute exacerbation of COPD presenting in the 11 trusts across the region. That's 15 hospital sites across Kent, Surrey and Sussex. And we were seeing that around just under 5% mortality rate for the patient group, which accounted for just under 50,000 bed days within the year. But one of the key things that I'll come on to talk about a little bit more was the variation in outcomes. So that's a regional perspective, but actually that masks some of the differences in terms of patient outcomes that we were seeing within the different trust sites. So essentially, this is a kind of textbook IHI breakthrough series success story. in the fact that the role the AHSN took was to bring the clinical teams together and think about how we could collectively make a difference for these patients. I mentioned already the number of sites that we're working on in Kent, Surrey and Sussex. And just to set this into context as well, we do have a best practice tariff that's aligned to the management of COPD patients in secondary care, which is paid when 60% of patients see a specialist within 24 hours of admission and then also receive the discharge bundle as well, which I'll come on to explain. And so one of the beauties around this project is that through the national audit process, clinical teams are collecting data anyway in terms of achievement against some of the care measures and the process interventions that I'll come on to talk about. The issue in terms of how that information was used is that through the national audit program, certainly in 2014-15, the data collectively was not being fed back to clinical teams in a systematic way, which could really be used to then drive discussions about how to improve care for the patient group. So the discharge bundle overview, and this is a national bundle, just to remind you, includes within it these care interventions around inhaler technique being assessed and corrected upon discharge, that a patient has written information and understands their self-management plan as they're leaving the hospital, the provision of rescue packs, that smokers may receive smoking cessation advice, so inevitably a significant link between smoking and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and particularly that follow-up appointments are then arranged with the community respiratory teams and also in terms of pulmonary rehabilitation. As I said, this is a kind of textbook IHI breakthrough series programme, with the clinical teams all agreeing across the region to really focus on improving the delivery of these well-evidenced care interventions. And this graphic really sets out the journey that we've then been taking the clinical teams on. Sense of building the momentum around the collaborative through the meetings. We bring the clinical teams together every 6 months or so, establishing the care interventions which we've agreed and the baseline data and how that's going to be collected. And then within the collaboratives and in between the collaboratives, the work that the support leads within the network have done and the program leads is really to wrap a structured and systematic quality improvement support program around the work to deliver the care intervention. So for example, if a particular trust is struggling with one or more elements of the bundle, the intention is that we can go in, work with the clinical team, map the patient pathway. We may use lean process improvement tools such as value stream mapping to do that, and really then try and understand how we can practically improve the processes through which the care is delivered. And it's particularly through the peer-to-peer support and the independence of the collaboratives that we see improvements. This is well evidenced. This isn't new. It's been published on internationally in terms of an improvement methodology. And, you know, we've still got a long way to go in Kent, Surrey and Sussex, but we've made significant improvements. So the appropriate care score is a measure of the number of patients receiving all aspects of the agreed bundle prior to discharge. So you can see where we started from in 2014, pretty low bar really, and we're now up to the point of around 60% of patients receiving all elements. So we have had great success stories within that, and again, this is where regional data sometimes masks some of the great improvement stories and challenges that sit underneath that regional perspective. But one of the most significant things that we've observed is that reduction in outcomes for patients. So particularly the reduction in variation around length of stay and also readmission rates as well. And particularly also the overall downward trend in length of stay and inpatient mortality for this group. And I think one of the most interesting things about that is that when we look at the 2017 to 18-19 data, that's all happening at a time when unscheduled hospital admissions for acute exacerbation are going up. So we've been able to achieve with the regional teams that reduction at a time of increasing challenge. And up and down the country, there's an increasing prevalence of COPD, which is different within the different regions of the country. But for us, we felt that this is a really good news story. So I said at the start of this presentation that this was an example from KSS, and we are now at the point of being able to spread this learning throughout the country. So as Cheryl and Tasha were talking about a little earlier, the COPD discharge bundle is now part of the spread and adoption portfolio for the patient safety collaboratives. And we've just been working a little bit behind the scenes with the national audit team to be able to extract the discharge bundle compliance levels for every hospital in the country. We've now just got that data this week. And so through the use of a Tableau and dashboards, our wonderful analysts are going to be producing those live dashboards for the clinical teams to use up and down the country. And one of the obvious links to innovation is part of that is the development of a mobile app, which can then be used on the floor by the clinical teams to see live data in terms of how they're doing around compliance on the bundle. So that's a great example of, I think, the link between the safety agenda and the innovation approach that AHSNs are supporting. So I did just want to call out a little bit of detail within the regional data as well. So, you know, inevitably, as part of these regional improvement and safety stories, there are real differences. So not wanting to name and shame a trust, but this is an example of a trust that has really seen significant improvement around the elements of the care bundle. I won't talk through all of that detail, but really, why is that happening? So inevitably, strong clinical leadership and engagement has been critical, and really taking a very structured approach to the delivery of the bundle. And this trust benefits from a well-experienced in-house quality improvement support team who have helped work with the clinical teams on the floor on a day-to-day basis. But particularly, one of the things that I think is also worth calling out is around the improvements in terms of referral to pulmonary rehabilitation, which again is a well-evidenced intervention in terms of improving patient outcomes. And one of the things that as an AHSN we also do is provide the clinical teams with a model of the financial benefit that they've seen linked to achievement of the bundle. So don't forget there's a best practice tariff that's aligned. And one of the things that we're able to do is identify where the trust may have missed the opportunity for income related to achievement of that tariff. And that then can be used to help inform the development of business cases to address resourcing gaps or concerns that there might be within the clinical workforce. And again, I think the independence that the AHSN network and the patient safety teams brings to that work has been really useful to help inform some of those conversations. Contrastingly, here's an example of one of the trusts that has really struggled with this program. And whilst there are some improvements in some aspects of the bundle initially, with changes in staffing and resourcing, changes in clinical leadership, we've seen inconsistent bundle delivery over the period of the program's been running. So I think I've covered a lot of this already. Some of the key learning around what's made this work is the collaboration that we've been able to foster and develop through the collaboratives. And really ensuring sustainability at a regional scale through the momentum and energy that we bring to those conversations. So we run a little award ceremony once a year for the respiratory teams. There's nothing like a certificate and a box of chocolates to say thank you for all the hard work that people are doing. And we see great engagement and a real sense of fun. We've had little videos that clinical teams have made showcasing how they deliver care, all sorts of different activities that are kind of part of the network's work. And that sense of creating a safe space, I think this is a recurring theme through a number of the presentations and case studies that we've seen. The ability to discuss challenges openly without a sense of judgment, but truly in the spirit of improving outcomes for patients. And of course, it always helps if you've got a robust data set to underpin some of the improvement activity that you're doing. So for me, it's a bit of a no-brainer. We've got over 50 national audits running in acute settings at any one time. The challenge is how we're using that data, which clinical teams are putting quite a lot of time into collecting to actually drive improvement on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's it. So just to say finally, it's fine for me to stand here and give all these great messages about that work, but inevitably there's a fantastic team behind the scenes, and particularly Ellie Wells, who's one of our program managers, and Dr. Joe Congleton, who we're lucky enough to have as our clinical lead for this work, who we're now supporting to work with colleagues up and down the country to see the implementation of the bundle spread. And of course, Joe Ursula as our PSL, and Tom, who is our wonderful, bright analyst, who was born the day that I graduated, or very near to it, but he's really the brains behind some of the dashboard and so on. So that's it. Thank you very much for listening, and happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Peter? One over there.
Hi, Peter. It's Hisham Abdallah, I'm a QI lead for our trust in Walsall and the West Midlands. We've also got high COPD levels. And I'm interested in the data. You mentioned using Tableau to try to extract data nationally, and I wondered where we are with that, particularly for that kind of peer-to-peer comparison. So it'd be interesting to see where we're at.
So we put a request in working with the PSMU, Patient Safety Measurement Unit, who are commissioned by NHS Improvement to support the patient safety collaboratives. And we put a data application into HQIP at the start of the financial year. So we've just had word from the data supplier, which is Crown Informatics, that this week the analysts will receive a data set which, by trust, will have the information on each component within the discharge bundle. So what's publicly available is the compliance against the best practice tariff, but that doesn't tell you around the specific achievement of the care interventions which underpin it. So what the Tableau dashboard will do, and will be provided, I'm reluctant to stand here and give a definitive date, but it will be in the next couple of weeks, is that detailed breakdown. So if you're not already linked into your patient safety collaborative colleagues, have a word with them or have a word with us after the session, and we can make sure that that data comes through to you and link you into the work. Does that sound okay?
Any more questions? Looks like you're off the hook.
Come on.
Okay. If there are no more questions, can I ask you to thank Peter for his presentation?
Thank you.
And our next presentation will be 12:30, Escape Pain, with Professor Mike Hurley. So do come back and join us for that at 12:30. Thank you.